Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do-it-yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
What is up, everyone? This is your good friend Patrick O'Dowd, joined by his good friend David Ungar. It is a beautiful Kayfabe Tuesday. Haven't pulled that one out in a while, and we are welcoming you into another edition of the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot for all of your chair shot swag needs. $19.99 for a quality shirt. Spend a few dollars more. Get it soft style. It'll feel great on your giblets. Dave, I see a lot going on the shirt you are wearing today. What is going on this shirt that you are wearing today? What is this business?
That is my Superman subliminated, I guess, shirt that I got a couple years ago.
I wonder why that shirt is being worn today as we record here on Sunday.
I have no idea.
Well, if you listened, I'm sure everybody, if you listened to Bandwagon Nerds, which you should listen to Bandwagon Nerds, great show. I personally love it. The hosts of those shows, the hosts are amazing. They're just phenomenal. They know their stuff, and they told us all kinds of wonderful stuff about Superman and how it was a great, great movie. So, Dave, I know you loved it. You had to have loved it. And again, as I break this wall here, I enjoyed it as well.
Yeah. I like this. We're like thinking in the fourth dimension. Like I'm pretty sure I know what I'm gonna say, but let's.
Oh, I mean, I know what you're gonna say. Here's the thing: is the Bandwagon Nerds chat and kids. If you know our recording schedule, you know that Four Corners gets recorded before Bandwagon Nerds. So it takes a lot of work for Dave and I to like not completely throw the cat out of the bag on something that you've already heard. But, you know, like you can't avoid, like that was this weekend. That was for all of the professional wrestling noise that the Chairshot Radio Network covers. And believe me, there was a lot of professional wrestling this weekend. There was All In, there was Evolution, there was Saturday Night's Main Event, there was Great American Bash, right? Yep. Like, wasn't that like,
yep.
It was just like wrestling programming overload. Goldberg hobbled his way into retirement. All this stuff, none of that mattered.
Seth blew out his knee.
In my opinion, none of that mattered, in my opinion, because the nerd side of us really took over. And what we saw the highly anticipated Superman movie. And if you haven't listened to us review that film, go back into the Chairshot Radio Network archives. It's only been a day. Go listen to our chat, because we broke it all down. We told you all of our thoughts, things we're excited about, even the things that we were like may have been a little bothered by, because it's not a perfect movie, but it's a damn good movie. And that's where we'll leave that. Today on the Four Corners, though, we're going to talk a little Major League Baseball to start the show. And then when we go to a commercial break, I'm going to talk to Dave. I'm forcing Dave to talk about college athletics. And this is because I am the resident college athletics guy in the sports sphere. Like, if we were to define people's sort of like spheres of sport knowledge and influence, Dave has hockey, golf, tennis. He loves his NFL. I am he likes MLB, but he gets mad at MLB because his team's trash, same as me. He likes the NBA, but his team is trash, just like my team. So we just sort of we bemoan our teams in those sports. And, you know, Major League Baseball is my passion. when it comes to the realm of professional sports. You know, MLB is where I know most, where I get most of my knowledge and history. But when it comes to college athletics, college football, college baseball, or basketball, line me up any day of the week. I love March Madness. I love college football. Those are my jams. My school is relevant right now, which is always very exciting, the University of Illinois. Even this, yes, on Saturday, Illinois beat out the University of Oklahoma for a four-star safety recruit. And that just never happened. Like, it never happens. And you know, University of Oklahoma is down, but Illinois is kind of on an upswing. They had a 10-win season last year, beat an SEC school in a bowl game, whether you feel it was earned or not. It's going to be an interesting, it's a great time to be an Illinois fan. And that love of that school is why I love college sports. And I'm going to make Dave talk a little college sports this afternoon, or for you all, it'll be this morning. So, Dave, I hope that's okay. Hope you're down.
That's fine with me, sir. I'm all for it. Let's talk some college. I mean, it's a pretty interesting week for college sports. You had what, College Football 26 launched this week. I know you're still messing with your, the video game.
Yeah. No, I was agreeing with you.
Oh, sorry. So yeah, I'm down to talk whatever you want to talk about. As you mentioned, you know, Major League Baseball, my teams are kind of trashy. The Orioles are trying to be relevant, but
right. I was like, not for nothing. The Nationals are 38-57.
Yeah.
And, they played my Cardinals, who are delightfully middling. And I sent you a message during game one when my Cardinals gave up 8 runs and are 3-7 in their last 10, lost 2 in a row because my team sucks. They just suck. And I got to vent this off my chest before we get into what we're really going to talk about. The general manager for the St. Louis Cardinals, John Mozeliak, who was in his last year before transitioning power over to a former Tampa Bay GM, Chaim Bloom, who is very much about developing a farm system and finally getting some talent back in the minors for the Cardinals, who were part of an expose last year about how woefully understaffed their farm system was. John Mozeliak is still the guy in power at the major league level for this team. And the fact that he will not cut bait on Miles Michaelis and/or Eric Fetty, who are literally throwing batting practice every time they come out there because you're too fucking proud to admit that these guys are washed, is unconscionable. When a week and a half ago, when you're playing the Cubs, you are in the playoff race and you're technically in the playoff race right now. You're 2.5 out of the wild card. And what are you doing? You are throwing 2 pitchers every 5 days that are giving up over 6 runs a game. And I'm not saying that there's some magic bullet in the minor league system that could work, but there's a young man by the last name of McGreevy who has been solid when he's been called up for the Cardinals and done spot starts. You got it. Miles Michaelis is draining $18 million out of the St. Louis Cardinals payroll. He's in a free agent year. Like, he's a free agent at the end of the season. Cut him. Designate him for assignment. He is terrible. Eric Fetty, who was a trade deadline pickup, who was solid before we got him, has had one good month, and that was the month of September last year when the Cardinals were out of the playoff race. And this is ultimately, like, the Cardinals cannot afford big time trades at the trade deadline. They just aren't that team. But you know what they can do? They can pay attention and recognize when something's not working and bring up what you got. Because if you're saying you want to be in this race, which is what they are saying, then you need to stop handcuffing the pitching coach and the manager, who catch all of the heat for starting these guys when they have no choice because the general manager won't make the move. Like, fuck that guy. Fuck my Cardinals. It just sickens me. And I sit here and I watch Detroit just mollywopping their division. You know, they're in a bad run and they're still 22 games over 500. Like, I don't need us to be the Tigers, but we can compete with the Tigers. The hell?
Meanwhile.
Anyway.
No, like the Nats.
The Toronto Blue Jays are having this big season. Yeah. I don't understand that.
Yeah. I mean, the Jays on top of the East wasn't expected. I tell you, like, people in LA, I was kind of surprised that the panic level didn't get a little bit higher this past week when the Dodgers lost 7 in a row. But, you know, Los Angelinos were like, yeah, whatever. You know, I mean, it's kind of like, we know, you know, they're going to go through these starts.
It's the best payroll baseball can buy.
And it's still
best roster baseball combined.
You still got to deal with them in the playoffs, and that's going to be a problem for anybody.
Right.
So, I know the this week that we fired
fretting when you're 20. You went fretting when you're 18 games over 500.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
But it was a big week for the Nationals because they fired Mike Rizzo. They fired Dave Martinez, the cornerstones of the 2019 World Series championship team. They brought that title to DC. So it's bittersweet, but yeah, even I was at the point where I'm like, you got to do something different. I mean, this team, they weren't supposed to be competing, but you thought, yeah, 500, you know, 81-81 could be in play for the Nats this year. That's not going to happen. So I, as much as I, you know, love Dave Martinez and everything he did, I wasn't that sad to see them go and start anew because they need to do something. The Orioles, meanwhile, yeah, I mean, like when Brady Hyde got fired, we thought, you know, is that really going to make a difference? Well, it actually kind of has. They've played much.
It's been a hockey change. Hockey coaching change.
It really has. And like I heard people when Martinez got fired, like, why do this in the middle of the year? Why not? At least see what you've got. Let somebody else run with this thing. It's not even the All-Star break yet. See what you've got. Put in an interim manager. Like, you're absolutely right. It's a hockey change. Are the Nationals going to be the 2019 Blues? No. But, you know, at least see what you got going on.
I love that that's the one we always go back to, my Blues.
It's the greatest success. I mean, there's two. You look at the 2019 Blues, and that's the easy one. The 2019, ironically enough, the 2019 Nats were very similar. You know, 19-31, and then caught fire and rode that all the way to a championship. But it's not going to be the Orioles. Maybe if they keep up at this pace, could make some noise and maybe sneak in a wild card. But you can't lose to the Marlins 6-0 like you did last night. That's not going to work. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think, like you're saying, the Tigers have been going through a rough run. Houston's been red hot lately. They are looking really good. The Dodgers will figure it out. I'm not worried. Tony, on DWI the other night, I was on there, and DP and Tony are very high on their Brewers, and they probably should be because they've been playing quite well.
They're young. They're playing extraordinarily well. The Cubs are faltering too. I think that's a big thing. The Cubs got off to this really hot start, and it looked like they were going to run away with the division. And then Milwaukee, you know, they got these kids. They're young. Pitching is so good, and they're fun to watch. Like, they're an entertaining team to watch, and it's different than you know. I mean, Tony sent me a message. He's like, this team feels special, and I'm like, okay. I don't want to shit all over a parade. When you're playing well in the middle of a 162 game season, like, it's easy to drink the Kool-Aid. And you know me, I am not the big prisoner of the moment guy. Like, it's just not how I operate. It's not who I am. My favorite thing about covering the playoffs with David Ungar, the NHL playoffs with David Ungar, everyone, is that after a team wins or loses, Dave then declares the series over in the opposite direction. And
I like in the middle of games where I'll text you shit, game breaker, you know, when a goal is scored or something.
and I'm like, well, there's still a period and a half to go, bro. And the next thing you know, fucking Florida scores 5 in the third or something nuts, because that's what they do. They go off that forecheck. Still stuff a legend. And don't think it's out of the realm of possibility we get a three-peat, kids.
Oh, but no, I was going to say, when you look at, they didn't lose anybody. They re-signed everyone.
Right.
That's a team that's just like, there are no discernible weaknesses. They aren't going to be any weaker going into next year. I bemoan that my Caps haven't done shit this offseason. It's like, this is Obi's last year. Do something, you know? Well, yeah, it's not. Nobody moved.
We didn't even talk about that. Nobody really moved. And it looks like 2026 could be the more exciting.
Yeah.
Could be a more exciting period.
One big move. I was just going to say, Marner going to the Vegas Knights. That's the only big move that happened.
Right. So But I do want to talk about a sporting event that is happening today as this podcast drops that nobody's talking about because it's largely been forgotten, in my opinion, in a way that to me is truly sad. The Major League Baseball All-Star Game is tonight. And is anybody thinking of... Yeah, it is. Well, Tuesday. When
I was going to say, Tuesday. Like, oh, I got you. Okay, I got you. All right.
I went to Kayfabe Tuesday.
I got you. Now I'm with you. I was like, did they do the home run derby and I missed it?
No, Atlanta. Tuesday night, Atlanta's Truist Park, July 15th at 8 p.m. Eastern on Fox. Nobody knows. Nobody cares. Home run derby. Even the home run derby. Like, baseball has become such a tertiary news story in the world of sports. And to me, that is a crying shame. Like, NBA free agency has generated more news and drama than MLB All-Star. And I guess that's where I'd like to go with this little snippet of conversation. MLB is third, if it's lucky, in the hierarchy of sports. And I would argue it's fourth behind NASCAR because nobody's talking about the All-Star. Do you even know who from your teams made the All-Star team?
I know James Woods is in the home run derby. But beyond that, I don't know, like I'm imagining Gunner is in the All-Star game for the Orioles. But yeah, beyond that, I mean, no, to be honest, no.
I'm looking through this right now. Ryan O'Hearn is the starting designated hitter, starting DH.
Team
and
Oriole?
He is. All right. It says BAL next to his name.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at the 2025 All-Star rosters, American League, Ryan O'Hearn, Baltimore.
Okay. All right. Cool.
He's wearing the hat and everything. Number 32.
And I don't know if Woods
clearly Dave's up on his roster.
Yeah, I don't even know if Woods in the game itself, but I know he's in the home run derby.
He is not. He's not on the roster. My Cardinals have a lone Cardinal. They have Brendan Donovan, who made it as a reserve. It's Rush. Kyle Schwarber is a reserve DH. Jesus. Shohei Ohtani is the DH for the Dodgers.
So can I ask you, because
three
you're
Dodgers
more,
on the starting lineup.
You're more up to this than I am. Is it still the same thing where whoever wins the All-Star game gets home field advantage in the World Series?
I don't remember anymore. I don't even care. That's the problem, is that nobody cares. Nobody cares, Dave. Nobody cares. And it's sad. I remember as a kid, you know, and I'm not asking for Pete Rose bowling over a catcher and ending a career. Like, I don't need that. But I do remember the All-Star game being and feeling special. And it doesn't.
No.
It doesn't seem like anybody cares. Doesn't seem like people know what's going on. Doesn't seem like people want to know what's going on. Like, what happened here? And, you know, baseball hasn't done much to like, sort of help its image and make this like appointment television. Like, I don't know. I remember like even the home run derby. Remember the days of Ken Griffey Jr. turning his hat on backwards and hitting home runs for fun and show and people loving it. And the home run derby used to be the thing that they could rely on. That was it. You went to the home run derby, you watched it, you loved it. And that would be, you know, that would be the biggest news. And then, you know, maybe you watch the All-Star game, maybe you don't. But it's boring. Nobody cares.
All the All-Star, that's why the Four Nations face-off was such a big hit this year, because they did something so different with you know, instead of just this typical, All-Stars from here and here and that sort of thing. And I just, it's like people don't, like you're saying, they don't care. None of the All-Star games, the Pro Bowl, all four, the big four major sports, keep trying to change this thing up, you know, and come up with something different. Like, to steal from soccer, the Four Nations was the NHL. And what soccer did this kind of year was this FIFA Club World Cup Championship, which was really interesting. And you got to see pretty quickly the disparity in talent between even the best team in the MLS, you know, Miami and like, you know, one of these other PSG just blew them off the field. But you got to think outside the box, because the same format isn't capturing the same sort of interest from people. And, Yeah, in the All-Star game, it's like it worked for a while when you had that idea that, well, whoever wins gets home field advantage for the World Series.
Well, but they only did that because the game ended in a tie and everybody yeah. got mad about it. Like, right. everybody was all upset because we were like, why is it a tie, stupid? I just, here's my thing. And this, I don't know how, I don't know that I particularly care for All-Star games in general. Like, I full transparency, because at the end of the day, what are you really trying to do? Who are you trying to serve? And why, if it's an exhibition that's just supposed to be something that's fun and doesn't matter, then why, what are we even doing? Why are we watching these things happen? Why are we watching these games take place? Like, it doesn't matter. And if it's just an exhibition, then do it at the end of the season. You know, there was a time where the All-Star game happened twice in a major league season. And teams wanted to represent their league and their teams. And now everything's so homogenous. And this is true across all sports, right? Like, you play so much of the other divisions, even if you're only playing them like six times. You know, the Cardinals will play the Dodgers six times in a year, home and away. They'll play every team in the American League once, kind of split in half. When you do that, it dilutes the specialness of the All-Star game, in my opinion, because, you know, like, it used to be that the only time you would see a St. Louis Cardinal face a Boston Red Sox player would be in the World Series or the All-Star game. That was it. It felt special. And now it's like nobody cares. I'm going to see my buddy and I'm going to play them and we're going to see these matchups happen. That's pointless.
Now, like the the interleague stuff that it used to be kind of a unique thing, like you're saying, where even with that, when they started to do more interleague stuff, it was just like divisions versus divisions. So you still had that possibility of a matchup you hadn't seen before. But now they're playing everybody.
I will be really interested to see what the actual ratings for the All-Star game are. You know, we enter into the All-Star break on Sunday. Teams are wrapping up. You know, we'll have Home Run Derby on Monday. And then we'll jump into the All-Star game on Tuesday. And I'll be interested to see which one gets the better ratings, right? Like, does Home Run Derby, they still hold weight? Baseball, you got some shit to figure out. You got to figure out a way to make this appealing if you're going to continue with this tradition. And I think this is also true for other sports. Nobody I have yet to hear somebody say they enjoyed this year's NBA All-Star game. The NFL plays fucking flag football.
Right.
Like,
right.
If this is where we are, why are we doing it? Just admit that we don't need them, because you can't tell me the revenue is that great. You can't tell me that. I mean, the ad revenue is probably that great.
No,
but like, people aren't going to the Pro Bowl. Like, the fucking stadium's empty. Nobody's there. Who wants to go to Hawaii other than the players? So anyway,
I'll go on vacation there. If somebody wants to go on vacation with me in Hawaii, let's go. But otherwise, yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean,
so we're going to take a commercial break, because I'm angry. I'm mad fucking baseball. And we're going to continue to be angry as we talk about sports intentionally diluting themselves for the sake of the almighty dollar when we come back. And we're not going to just pick on the pros. We're going to pick on the amateurs. Basically semi-pros now at this point. That's right. We're going to go to the college ranks. So stick around for that. We'll be covering it all. And Patrick's going to rant a little bit more. It's just going to happen. So stay tuned, because it's coming. You're listening to the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Hey, Drew and Jonathan Scott here. Build a customized renter's policy with American Family Insurance so you can protect your tandem bike on the go.
Thief!
Oh, he is struggling with that two-seater. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at amfam.com.
Some exclusions may apply. Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI and its operating companies. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, into the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com. Patrick O'Dowd, David Ungar, here on the Chairshot Radio Network, where we remind you to always use your head. Make sure you head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot to invest in all of your chair shot needs, at least apparel wise. I can't speak to other needs. It's just clothing, $19.99, spend a few dollars more, get a soft stop. Dave, this was an interesting week for college sports because there was a lot of anticipation earlier last week that the NCAA was going to be making an announcement and a vote on the tournament expansion of the possibility of tournament expansion for March Madness. Now, for those of you who have lived under a rock, you know, for quite some time, for a couple of decades, the NCAA tournament has been what had been sitting at 64 teams. It expanded the field by four with the first four games to 68. And they just keep talking about growing. And some of the talk was as big as 96 teams getting into the NCAA tournament. Now, so there's this meeting that was supposed to happen on July 9th, 10th, and both NCAA Division I men's and women's basketball committees met this week, and they tabled expanding from the 68 team format. So it's still on the table, but ultimately nothing was decided, but we could go to 72 or 76. Meanwhile, over on the football side, we know college football playoff is expanding. It's going to expand from the 12-team format to a 16-team format. The fight right now is is really coming down to who gets in and how they determine who gets in, and whether it's a 5 conference championship, 11 at-large model to some other ones that favor kind of the bigger conferences like the SEC and the Big Ten. And frankly, it's purely revenue driven. Some conferences that don't know they're not big time anymore haven't caught the memo that they're not big time anymore. I'm looking at you, Big 12. I'm looking at you, ACC, which literally put a Band-Aid on itself to keep Florida State and Clemson from leaving, saying that they're going to exist until 2031. They ain't making it. Clemson and Florida State won out. They have all the clout and power. They're going to get out. And the ACC is going to be just like the Big 12, a small conference searching for relevancy because all of their power teams have gone. Dave, the college football format is coming. Like, there's just that change is known and made. If you had your druthers, though, what sort of scenario or criteria would you like to see happen when it comes to teams that actually make it into the college football playoff?
Oh, that's a tough one. Because, like you're saying, we're rapidly gravitating towards the point where you're looking at what's functionally going to be like the NFC and the AFC, right? You're going to have two conferences. You're going to have the SEC versus the Big 32 or whatever the fuck it's going to be by then.
They have not changed. They're 18 teams strong, but they're still called the Big Ten.
Yes, that makes
perfect. I'm waiting for them to get two more teams so they can just be the Big Ten plus 10.
Yeah. I mean, it makes as much sense as Cal and Stanford being in the ACC because nothing says Atlantic Ocean like Berkeley and Palo Alto.
USC is a Big Ten team.
Yeah, if Washington, Oregon,
UCLA. Big Ten,
UCLA, Big Ten teams. That's a tough one, and I was a big proponent of going to 16 as well. But the problem with 16 is like, well, none of the top seeded teams get a bye any longer. And I'm not sure that really matters in the grand scheme of things, because if you're going to have one versus 16, then what's the big deal?
But here's my example of why this is a good thing. Oregon, because Oregon was the number one overall seed in the tournament and got destroyed by an Ohio State team that, you know, tore its way through the tournament. Now, I'm not saying Oregon beats Ohio State if they're playing on a level playing field or if they're playing within the same amount of time, but there is a legitimate thought and argument, and there's data out there that week off, that theoretically people are like, oh, Oregon can rest up, they're going to be fully healthy. They're not playing ball, though, for over a month. And then they go in cold against an Ohio State team that's got a game under its belt feeling good about itself.
Right.
So and somebody reseeded it out, and, you know, instead of playing Ohio State in their first tournament game, Oregon would have been playing like one of the like the group of five at large, like a BYU or whoever it was. I can't even remember.
They would have advanced, yes.
Right. And so it's just one of those things. If the goal is to reward the team that came out on top and was number one in the polling, did they actually get rewarded? And there is an argument for no. Wow. Tom Fornelli for CBS Sports wrote a really good article about kind of what happened to Oregon, and then also has written I'm going to forget what they call their podcast, but the Cover 3 podcast. He was on it with a couple, three other CBS writers, and they spent a significant chunk of talking about how he would divide up and seed and admit teams into the college football playoff. And he set a couple of flat rules that I thought was really interesting. Three teams each from the big conferences, SEC and Big Ten, would get auto bids, which is already going to happen. Like that's already going to be a thing. Amongst other conference tournament champions, he had a set number, and then at larges, and he also had some criteria of what you had to do to actually qualify to be a college football playoff team. You had to have 9 conference games, and you had to have at least one non-con game be against a Power 4 team. So everybody in the college football playoff has to play 10 Power 4 teams, and then you get your two, and out of the two that are left, one is a group of five team and one is an FCS team. So you get your cakewalk, you get your slightly more challenging but probably still a cakewalk win if you're a college football playoff team, and then you have 10 Power 4 conference teams that you get there and you get scheduled, and that if you don't follow that schedule, then if you don't follow those rules, then you don't quote unquote qualify for the college football playoff. It has some interesting merit.
Does. Gosh, I could almost see them saying, okay, look, the two big conferences, the big whatever and the SEC, they each get 4 teams, half the field. And then you give the other half the field to the other conferences. However you're going to mix it up and match it up from there. I mean, there's, at least what are the other two power four, ACC and Big 12, right?
In theory, right.
You got to
put it that way, because there's clearly a different class of conference going on there.
Yeah. They're the ones who are still running, they've got their conference championships because they've got the right number of teams and the number of teams or however they do that. So, okay, well, there's, now you're up to 10, conference champions of those two get in. Then you get, however the other 6 break down. I don't know if you did that, you'd almost have to exclude the big two, as we'll call it, from the other eight bids, to make it fair and just divide the other 8 amongst everybody else and say, hey, if you're in one of these big mega conferences, you've got to finish in the top 4, which basically means semifinals of the, conference championships. You make it there, you're in, and then we're fighting for seeding. I don't know. I don't have any answers for it.
It's tough, though, because when you have an 18-team conference, for example, look at Indiana. Indiana last year, their toughest challenge was Ohio State on the road. And they got mollywhopped by Ohio State. But they didn't play. I don't think they played Penn State. They didn't play Penn State. They didn't play Michigan. Or maybe they did play Michigan. Maybe they beat Michigan. I just remember their schedule, or Illinois' conference schedule this year. Illinois doesn't draw Penn State. They don't draw Michigan. They draw Ohio State at home. And probably their toughest conference opponent is USC coming to Champaign. Mm-hmm. So, and that's nothing. USC is loaded with talent. Do they have the coach? That's been the real question. Is Lincoln Riley really the coach that they need? So it's tough, because if a team goes, 8-1 in the Big Ten, but then Penn State and Ohio State, for example, go undefeated playing the conference championship game, and Illinois is dealing with an 8-1 Michigan or whatever, is it really fair? Who deserves to go? So who knows? Well, the thing is, they haven't agreed on a format yet. Conference commissioners are still arguing over it.
So it's official they're going to 16. Is that?
Yeah, that is definitely happening.
Okay.
That is absolute. That is going to be happening in the future. All right. Over on the NCAA side of things, I've never seen like not never. This thing is wildly unpopular to expand amongst fans, amongst most of the media. And yet it's going, this is another thing that I don't think is an if question, it's a win. And this one really bothers me because that tournament is already, the NCAA basketball tournament, which 64 felt like this magic number, has continued to be further and further diluted by expanding the field. And the people that are in favor of expansion, Seth Davis was one that immediately comes to mind. There, his argument is laughable because Seth Davis is living under the delusion that an expanded tournament field will result in more of the mid-major schools that are not getting into the tournament access to the tournament. When the reality is that it's going to allow the NCAA Tournament Selection Committee, in my opinion, to just let a middling name brand school into the tournament, a la North Carolina, which was barely above 500, but on the strength of a semi-fortunate quarterfinal run in the ACC tournament. They didn't even get to the semis, I don't think. Or maybe it was the semi. Maybe they made it all the way to, I don't know. They played Duke and just got obliterated by Duke because Duke was just miles and miles away, better than them. They got into the tournament. They got out of the tournament only to be bounced in the first round. And it was like, yay, North Carolina made it. And it's all revenue driven. It's all put North Carolina in the tournament, put them in that first four game because people are going to pay, or people are going to watch that first four game now because North Carolina's got a fan base. They're not going to be like, well, you know, Fordham had a great year. Let's put Fordham in. They went 28-2 in their conference, but then lost in the, you know, conference tournament in the A-10 tournament championship game. And suddenly we're going to put, do you think they're going to magically end up in the tournament? Not unless you require it. Not unless you require it. Wow. No, it's going to go to a low level power four middling team. If you expand this tournament to 72 or 78 or whatever the hell they're going to do, and it's going to happen. Like, I know it's going to happen because the money is going to be there because suckers like me take the fucking day off on Thursday and Friday of the first round of the tournament to watch the thing. But I don't want to see a shitty North Carolina that barely finished over 500 have an opportunity for that. They don't deserve an opportunity for the national championship. That Fordham team that lost two deserves the shot, but they're not going to get it because who's going to pay to see Fordham? Nobody. Sorry, Fordham. I love you. The Rams, go nuts. I'll watch you in the A-10 this year. Actually, I won't because UMass changed conferences. So now I don't get to watch the Atlantic 10. I have to watch the MAC because, once again, Dave, nothing says Massachusetts like Mid-America.
That is exactly true. What the main thing I took from that is that this is all your fault because you take the day off and watch all those games. That's what I got from that. You're driving this expansion, Pat.
I'm absolutely in agreement that I'm part of the problem because well, yes and no, because I'm not like, I love the tournament enough that I'm going to watch, like I watch every bit of it that I can. Like I watch the first four regardless of who's in it, because I love the idea of this massive single elimination tournament that takes place that really puts a lot of pressure on teams to perform and get it done. And I love it. And that first weekend of the tournament, in my opinion, is poetry in sports because of the little guy. The first weekend is for the upsets. The second weekend is for the powerhouses. And that's okay. And that's what makes the tournament great. And when you look at how the tournament has progressed, the haves and have-nots have shifted so much. You don't get true Cinderellas anymore. There's not a Butler out there running the table. You know, Florida FAU, one great year under one of the best coaches that now is residing over in Ann Arbor. And I hate that Dusty May is over there because he is a hell of a coach. He's a hell of a recruiter. And he is loading up on talent. Michigan, watch out for Michigan, kids. But I don't know, man. It's just, I know it's a money-driven thing. And I guess rant over. We're coming up on time. I didn't really let you chime in on this one.
That's all right.
I just went off all pissy like.
It is college sports is something you are more passionate about than I am, and I freely admit that. I'm trying to get back into college sports. Probably the video games have gotten me a little bit more interested in that sort of thing. But Yeah, I mean, 64 always seemed like a nice number. Okay, the bracket just flows perfectly. Instead of like adding in these, like, well, these are play-in, and let's just keep this here, and we'll throw that there and add this. And it's like, why are you going through these mental gymnastics to pull this off?
I've always, like, I watched the first four, but I resent that the first four puts in these mid-major conference champions that would have been 16 seeds. Put them in the fucking main bracket. It is and every year we hear people like, oh, well, it's a big deal to them. They're so excited. I was like, are they? They're there. They're excited because that's the only chance they get. Like, they don't get to go to one of these fucking remote locations and celebrate their season and get destroyed by Arizona or, you know, whoever. But it's honestly, it's not about that for those teams. It's like, no, you get to go. You get to be a part of it. Going to Dayton and winning in the first four is nice.
If you get blown
for the team
out,
that wins.
If you're one of these teams and you get blown out by Duke in the NCAA tournament, you can at least say, we got our ass kicked by Duke in the NCAA tournament, right, you know, in Hawaii or LA
and so
or something,
it's just,
you know?
It's such a disingenuous sell. And that's the thing that I've always said, it's a disingenuous sell. It's patronizing. And if you want to make the first four exciting and you want to put in middling power four conference teams, make all of those middling power four teams. Don't punish a mid-major, because that's what you're doing. You're punishing a mid-major for having the audacity to be a smaller school in a smaller conference. Like, fuck all the way off. All right. Anyway,
dare you make the tournament.
We're gonna insult your achievement by making you play a play-in game against a school just like you. All right, Dave, let's roll out of here. Why don't you tell everybody where they can find you on the Chair Shot Radio Network and on the socials if you are so inclined?
Yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky, but mostly on X at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG. Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression and at Attitude of Aggression, all one word, on Instagram and Threads. We did just drop a new episode of the Big Five Project on Attitude of Aggression and on the Chair Shot. So if you're interested in Tunney's East German views on SummerSlam 1995, please make sure you tune into that. And he's even wearing the colors today. Look at him. That's what's going on over at attitudeofaggression.com.
You can follow me on most of your social media networks at Wrestling Realist. That is at WRESTLNGREALIST. You can listen to me Mondays and Tuesdays for certain. You will catch most of the time my shows, though there's been a couple Tuesdays I've missed. Wednesdays, we've been struggling. The little DeMarco is home from college, and so there's been a prioritization of family time there. I totally get it. Family comes first. That's why you haven't gotten your regular dose of what I will still call the Greg DeMarco show. But Monday, Tuesday, like, he can call it whatever the fuck he wants, but we all know the truth. He calls it the Babyface Heel Podcast. He's so weird. Anyway, but Mondays, you can catch me talking nerdy stuff, bandwagon nerds, with Dave, PC Tunnies, sometimes Ray Cash, sometimes some dude named DJ. I hear he's got a decent podcast. Tuesdays, sports with Dave. Had a lot of fun with this discussion, Dave, even though it was mostly us me ranting and raving about the NCAA tournament expansion and how it's stupid. And then Wednesdays, talking wrestling with Craig DeMarco when we feel like it. I also, before we sign off, she doesn't listen, but I feel it's only fair. You heard this on Bandwagon Nerds 2. Tomorrow, Wednesday, it's my 20th wedding anniversary. So just going to send a shout out to the lovely and talented Mrs. O'Dowd. Once again, 20 years. She has stayed with me through getting giant models of Slave One from his best friends, Disney obsessions, nerdy movies, taking his kid to Weird Al Yankovic concerts. That's happening this coming weekend. All kinds of stuff. I love her very, very much. And I know she won't listen, but I feel it's important to just share with everybody here. I love her and I'm happy. 20 years.
Congratulations to you guys on your 20th wedding anniversary. And well, I just want to say she helped foster that Disney addiction. So, you know, I mean,
she acts like she's not a Disney adult. She's like a closeted Disney adult. Like, that's what we'll say there. But anyway, that's going to do it for Dave and I here on the Four Corners Podcast. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Enjoy the All-Star game tonight. Watch it. I don't know that anybody even remembered that it was happening, but we reminded you. Now catch it. This has been the Four Corners Podcast here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of the Chairshot.com.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same Game Parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.